brother found my Bible. All right. Boy, man, you got to love Children's Church, man. Tell you what, he's jumping excited to go. That's outstanding. Amen, brother? Let's take a copy of God's Word and turn it to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to begin reading here in verse 11 and take it through verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 11 and reading it through verse 16. Let's all stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 11 and taking it through verse 16. A message, a passage that speaks right to Mother's Day today. So we close out. This will be the last message in chapter 11, 1 Corinthians. We're already into chapter 12, but God lined this up for Mother's Day today. The Word of God reads here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 11. Have you found it? Amen. If you found it this morning, would you say glory?
Glory.
All right, let's read it on then. God's Word reads here, "Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Judge in yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him, but if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her? For her hair is given her for a covering. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God." I love how he ends that there in verse 16. He says there, "But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom." In other words, and we ain't taking complaints, amen? I mean, if you want to go complain, be contentious, find somewhere else to do it in. I love how he ends it right there. Chapter 11, verse 11 through 16. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you. We thank you for what this day again means. And Father God, we pray that this message, this time together, would be encouraging to the church, would be edifying to the women that are here today. The Lord would give us balance, and as we're balanced, we would have a good testimony before the lost. Father God, we pray that salvations would result because of what we've done here this morning. So we've attempted to lift Christ up that He might draw all to Himself. We thank you for the church and the gift it is. We thank you for marriage and the gift it is. And we thank you for family and the incredible gift that it is. Thank you for loving us and for saving us. Thank you for giving each of us a mom. And Lord, we praise you today for all your goodness and your grace and your mercy. We pray for those that perhaps need to receive you as personal Savior, Lord, and even in a message designed and delivered to moms today, delivered to women today. Lord, if it be your will, may you save those that need to be saved. Father God, may they not leave here lost. May they seek your face. It's in your name we pray. And God's people said, amen. Thank you for standing in honor of the reading of the Word of God. I'm amazed by them women. I mean, my goodness, they know how to get it done. We're finishing up this chapter here, 1 Corinthians 11, verses 11 through 16. And basically what is going on is, remember in Corinth, and I'll try to catch you up if you hadn't been here for all the Corinthian messages, right? I think I got too hot yesterday, and me noodle's not working the way it should be. But I drank some Gatorade and some water, and I didn't get the toe cramps last night. So I think I'm rehydrated, but you can kind of tell when you get too hot. And so that kind of happened to me yesterday. But we'll try to line it all out here. In Corinth, they had these things called the Isthmian Games, right? And so happened every 2 years, not the Olympian Games. These are the Isthmian Games. These are the warm-ups to the Olympic Games. And so Corinth is this major metropolitan hub. It's this seafaring city. There's a lot of commerce going on. There's just a lot of transient population. Praise God, Jesus put a church there. The Apostle Paul starts a church there. And these folks are ministering. They've got huge opportunities, these Corinthian Christians, to minister outside the church. And so they're out there doing that. Well, in the midst of them doing this ministry outside the church, in the area, during this time, there is a strong feminist movement going on, right? And this feminist movement is going on because of a reaction to all the atrocities that have happened to women. But what you have here, these Corinthian Christians, Corinthian men and women outside the church doing this ministry, something is going on where they are uncovering. They're doing a cultural taboo, whereas they're trying to be as authoritative, the women, as authoritative as the men. And it's giving a poor testimony for the Lord. It's giving a poor testimony for God's creative order. And so what Paul has been trying to do, basically, at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1 through all of this passage, he's trying to get folks to comprehend that there's an order to things, that there's a role for men, that there is a role for women, that we're complementary, but everybody's got to work their program, right? And so that's what he's trying to do here. And so he's been pretty, up until this point, he's been pretty trying to get the ladies to comprehend that they've got to be responsibly submissive, right? And he's trying to get the men to comprehend that they've got to be responsibly authoritative, right? He's trying to get them to think it through. And then when he gets here to this passage, all right, he's been working on the ladies for a while. Then when he gets here to verse 11, he tries to bring the balance. And that's where we end it today. And it's a beautiful passage on balancing submission and authority all up. And he basically communicates in this passage that man's authority over a woman is a delegated authority. God gives us this authority, guys. He creates us as men. It's a derived authority given by God to be used, though, pay attention, guys, to be used for His purposes and in His way. So man as a fellow creature has no innate superiority to woman. And the ladies should say, amen, right? And the man has no right to use his authority in a tyrannical and a selfish manner. See, male chauvinism, Archie Bunker male chauvinism, does that ring a bell? Archie Bunker male chauvinism? Edith, does that ring a bell? For some of you, I know I'm dating us. Archie Bunker male chauvinism is no more biblical than Jane Fonda feminism. You feeling me on that? Neither one of them are biblical. They are both a perversion of God's plan. I want to share with you today just a few points, and I'm going to try to keep my comments brief, and I said that last week and fell short in that area. I understand that. So we're going to try again today to bring it home, right? Because I want fajitas just like the next guy, right? So number one, as we look at this, the church, the New Testament church, the biblical church, not the wackadoo church out there, but the New Testament, Bible-based, Jesus-loving church, this is point number one, has a mandate to honor its women. We have a mandate to honor our women as equals before the Lord. Look at verse 11. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. Are you feeling that? You know, the bottom line here is we stuck together. So we might as well get used to it and love one another through it. Amen? Right? I mean, we've got to have one another. That's what verse 11 is talking about. And see, the church biblically and historically, pay attention, the church biblically and historically has been woman's greatest advocate. Oh, ladies, man, you want to find the purpose of life. You want to find what God's created you for. Get saved and get plugged into a God-fearing, Jesus-loving, Bible-preaching church. You will be liberated to the purpose God has called you for. Amen? You don't have to chase some feministic wacko out there that's trying to steer you astray and get you way outside of God's plan for you. See, the church biblically and historically has been woman's greatest advocate. In Greek and Roman societies, most women were little more than slaves. Little more than slaves. The possessions of their husbands, who often virtually bought and traded their wives at will. And that's the big reason. That's the big consequence back then why there was feminism rolling through the Roman Empire. It was a reaction to this Greco-Roman culture because of the atrocities and inhumane treatment towards women perpetrated by the men. Oh, but the Jewish folks aren't much better. In the Jewish communities, the woman's situation was not much better. When we talk about the first century, when we talk about the study of biblical history, divorce, we think divorce is bad today. Divorce back then had become so easy and commonplace. But the ladies never initiated it. Most of the time, it was the prerogative of the man. And listen to this, ladies. Now, praise the Lord, we're not ending on this note. But let's think this through. Some Jewish men in different circles of this New Testament time, many Jewish communities, some Jewish men held women in such low esteem that they developed a popular prayer in which they thank God. Listen to me now, ladies. They thank God that they were not born a slave. They thank God that they were not born a Gentile. You know, praise the Lord, I'm a Jew. And then thirdly, they thank God that they were not born a woman. Well, that ought to get you dander up a little bit, right? Who are these guys, right? See, what I want to tell you today, in the Lord's work, women are as important as men. Amen? Good to hear the guys say amen. In the Lord's work, women are as important as men. Their role's different in function and relationships, but not in spirituality or importance. Men and women are complementary. Right? Well, Pastor, that's right. She ought to be paying me compliments. That's not what I'm saying. Men and women are complementary in every way in life, but particularly in the Lord's work, where they function together as a divinely ordained team. And this equality with men, this liberation from being personal property, this honor as men and as the church, the honor that we ought to be giving to the women, this is all supported throughout Scripture. See this 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 11 through 16 passage? It's not the only place in the Bible that talks about how the church has a mandate to honor its women as equal before the Lord. Oh, it's all throughout the Bible. Let me share some with you. Jesus commended Mary's act of listening to theological teaching over Martha's work in the kitchen, right? You know, ladies, he comes home and looking at the kitchen and, you know, it's not all picked up and cleaned up and the food's not on the table. You can say, well, have a little Bible study. I'm going to get to that here in a minute. Amen? Because Jesus commended who? He commended Mary's act of listening to theological training versus Martha's work in the kitchen. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Immediately after our Lord's ascension. Everybody's kind of standing around. Jesus is gone, right? Well, what do we do now? They commence to pray. Amen. That'd be a good sign. Let's pray because Jesus is gone. He promised a helper, but he's out. He's ascended back to the right hand of the Father. After his ascension, immediately after our Lord's ascension, some 120 believers, including the apostles and a number of women, gathered in the upper room and they prayed, Acts chapter 1, verses 12 through 15. The entire last chapter of the book of Romans is devoted to Paul's commendation of and greetings to various friends in the church at Rome, among whom are 8 honored women. Listen to Acts chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. It's about Phoebe. The word of God resists it. It says, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints. Wow. That's how you ought to receive Phoebe. And that you help her in whatever matter she may have need of you, for she herself has also been a helper of many and of myself as well. Well, Paul's knocking it out of the park for Phoebe. Phoebe ministered to him in a time of great need. Mary, the mother of John Mark, opened her home as a meeting place for the Jerusalem believers, Acts chapter 12, verse 12. Lydia opened her home in the same way as Mary to believers in Philippi, Acts 16, verse 40. Then there's the story of eloquent Apollos. Eloquent Apollos, man, he was the bomb diggity of his day. He was the preaching machine. He was the prince of preachers, Apollos. The great Apollos will be in revival the next four nights. Come be a part. I mean, Apollos was the headlining guy. He was big time. But the story of eloquent Apollos in Acts 18, 24 through 26, where Aquila, the Bible teacher and scholar, and his wife Priscilla, who knew the truth of God, took Apollos aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. Over and over in the Scriptures, we find women stepping up to be counted on by God. It's a beautiful thing. Let's talk about our own time and day and age, because that's first century stuff. That's way back in the way back. But let's think about today. Can we be really honest? Y'all don't want me to be really honest, do you? Just a little honest? No, but let's be real honest. Let's be real honest about it, amen? Let's be brutally honest and forthright. In many places, in many churches, in different times, my time, your time, these kids' times as they grow up, you know what has happened in the past and what will continue to happen as the Lord tarries? Faithful women have kept the church alive, kept the doors open. Are you ready? With little or no help from the men. Little or no help from the men. Praise God, that doesn't go on here, but that goes on in other places. With little or no support from the men. Even outside the church, even if we get outside the church and we talk about all these different ministries, man, there are many mission fields. They would not exist if it were not for the sacrificial work of women through the ages. Amen, church? See, what are you saying to us, Pastor? I mean, what are you trying to get across to us? What do you want us to really take away from today? This is one thing I want you to take away from today. This right here. A church without godly women cannot be a strong and effective church. I want to tell you, every church has got to have godly men leading it and godly women working in it alongside the men. You have either or. You don't have both and it's not near the church that it could be for the Lord. I want to tell you, a church without godly women cannot be a strong and effective church. See, the man's proper authority, we like to wear that shirt. We like to put on that jacket. We like to put that cap. I am a man and in charge. Large and in charge. Right? We like that. The man's proper authority, this is what we forget. The man's proper authority does not make him independent of woman. You got to have her. We got to have them. And the woman's proper subordination does not make her only dependent on the man. Oh, we're both in this together. See, men and women in God's design are mutually dependent on each other. That's point number one. The church has a mandate to honor its women as equal before the Lord. Point number two. And we're almost done because this is a really short one. Point number two. Woman's equality. You ever wonder where it comes from? Woman's equality comes from her ability, her God-given giftedness to bear and raise children. I dare say there would be a whole lot of us here today if it were not for women. I about pass out during live birth. I've been there for four, trust me. When it's almost over, there's a nurse walking me to a chair to sit down because I'm starting to see stars. Do you think I would go? I would not go through that. God's not designed, built me to do that. Man, there'd be one in my family if I was responsible for all that. Just one, right? I'd be second-guessing that decision, right? Man, I cannot believe it. That's where women's equality comes from, man. I mean, she carries the human race, the propagation of it, on her back, in her body. Women's equality comes from her bearing and nurturing children. Not only does she bear them, she nurtures them. Unlike a man. I mean, a man can nurture, but not like a woman. Look at verse 12 with me. For the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, without the man in the Lord. You see it there? Now we know, and we've said this, and we don't say this to be mean, and we don't say this to try to aggravate, but we know that the Scriptures teach us that women are not to be teachers of men. I mean, every church has, you know, their local autonomous church. They can put whoever they feel like needs to be up behind the pulpit preaching or teaching from the Word of God. I've got every right to not attend that church, and you've got every right to not attend that church. They got every right to do what they do. We got every right to go where we feel like God wants us to go, right? But we know the Bible teaches that women are not to be teachers of men. But friend, think this through. As mothers, women have a unique and indispensable role in training and developing boys who are what? Men in the making. Men in the making. From conception to adulthood, a man is dependent upon and shaped by his mother in a unique and marvelous way. I want to tell you, my mom influenced me up until the day Aubrey Lee was born. When Aubrey Lee was born, mine and my mom's relationship changed. It was a tough transition for her and for me both. She was my mother, but now guess what? I'm married to a mama. She's just had Aubrey. And we're now a family. And it changed everything. In our lives, in a good way, but it's a transition time, right? But up until that point, man, my mother was an influence in my life. Still is an influence in my life today, but not to the degree she is now, right? You understand what I'm saying? I mean, man, I remember when I moved out, I would have starved. I would have starved if it were not for my mother. She gave me some pots and pans. She gave me some basic cooking instructions. And I cannot tell you how many loads of laundry she washed for me after I was gone and grown. She didn't have to do that. Man, what are you doing? Well, she's taking care of what? Taking care of her oldest son, right? She finally got to a point where she said, come here, you can do this. I know you can, right? Yeah, these go on cold. Don't mix your underwear with this. Wash it separate, right? Your towels you can wash on hot. You know, all that stuff, right? Color safe this and all that, right? I mean, man, my mother was a huge influence. I remember I got hit in the eye with a baseball. I was pitching. I was a 10-year-old, and I was pitching to 13-year-olds, and I thought I was some kind of pitcher, and we didn't have the right distance between the plate and the mound. I threw the ball as hard as I could, and this 13-year-old kid, I'm 10, going to 11. This guy, man, he clocks it line drive. I stuck that left glove out, and I thought I had it. I got a piece of it, but I didn't get enough of it. And that ball hit me right square in the left eye. And, man, the lining of my eye started to bleed. And I remember opening that eye, and it was completely black. I thought I was blind in one eye. I screamed and carried on. The ball hit me so hard, I did a backward flip. Landed on my chest. Got up, dusted myself off. By that time, that eye was filling with blood. And there was literally blood running over my eyeball down my cheek. I thought I lost that eye. Man, I needed a mama then. And I had one. Boy, she nursed those wounds, the stitches in my foot, the sprain here and the bruise there, laid up from football for 3 or 4 days at a time, mononucleosis in junior high. I mean, my soul, I've been through it. Guess who was there with me going through it? My mom. Yeah. They nurture, don't they? They take care of, don't they? From conception to adulthood, a man is dependent upon and shaped by his mother in a unique and marvelous way. And throughout adulthood, whether married or single, man is dependent on women in more ways than he's often willing to acknowledge. Well, I want to tell you, I'm dependent on mine. I have absolutely zero fashion sense, right? If I come up here looking like a clown one day, it's because my wife was out of town or I got out of the house before she saw what I had on, right? I mean, that's what happens. I mean, and so we're dependent. As men, we're dependent. In marriage, men cannot be faithful to the Lord unless they are willingly, listen to this, cannot be faithful to the Lord. In marriage, men cannot be faithful to the Lord unless they are willingly and lovingly dependent on the wife He has given them. You can't be some spiritual giant in the church. You can't be some Bible hero if you're not loving and lovingly dependent on that mate that God has given you. That's just the bottom line to the Word of God, to God's truth today. Amen, church? Men and women are the perfect complements. He didn't make any accidents. Men and women are the perfect complements. One the head, one the leader, one the provider. That'd be the man. The other the helper, the other the supporter, the other the companion. That'd be the woman. And then I love how he ends this passage, verses 13 through 16. That was point number two. The last point is simply this, and then we'll go eat. We'll get some good food here. Point number three is even nature itself compels us to honor and celebrate the differences that we have as men and women. And I think I mentioned this on a Sunday night. It was kind of like the Apostle Paul. He's been teaching these guys and pouring his heart out. And he finally says, you know what? Here's the keys. Go. I mean, he finally just turns it over to them. Notice what he says here in verse 13. Word of God reads, judge in yourselves. You know, I'm the apostle, started the church, led many of you to the Lord. I've been pouring my heart out a year and a half. I've left. You've sent me a letter telling me all these problems and how everything's messed up. I'm sending you a letter back to you. And in this letter, I'm giving you all this truth and all this application and all this stuff. But you know what? Here you go. You figure it out. Just look around. God's put it all there before you in nature. Even nature compels us to honor and celebrate our differences. Look at verse 13 with me. Judge in yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself, look at there, even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him. But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her. For her hair is given her for a covering. Covering. This is good stuff here. Paul basically asks these Corinthians, you know what? I'm not the apostle right now. The principle of authority, the principle of subordination is not only given by God in His divine revelation, but it is self-evident from His creation itself. You say, what does he mean when he says, look at nature? Well, he's talking about hair here. What does he mean by that? Men and women have distinctive physiological differences. And one of those ways that we're physiologically, well, I'll get it in a minute. One of the ways we're different, right, One of the ways we're different is in the process of hair growth on the head. Yeah. Yeah, just look at Brother Roger. He's a living testimony, amen? And you look at me, right? And some of you, Brother Carr, you look at Brother Carr, living testimony. And Bobby back there in the back, you look at him, amen? Hair develops, and I ought to know because I started losing my hair early on, and I wanted to know. Hair develops in three stages. And there is the formation and growth. Then there is the resting of the hair. And then there is the fallout. Man, I got the fallout stage on. The male hormone, the male hormone testosterone, when little baby boys are in the womb, God's making them and designing them, there's a time during that 9-month pregnancy that the testosterone production starts in that baby in mama's belly. And when it does, it takes that little brain and it severs the majority of the synapses between the left and right hemisphere. That's why we're so analytical, factual. Well, I can fix that. That's why we're like that. And she's like, I just want to talk about my feelings. Would you just please listen? I don't want you to fix it. Just hear. She's got her two brains wired together, and we're over here just working on one half of our brain, right? That's why the older we get, men, our bodies start to reconnect the synapses. Takes years, but we get more what, guys? Emotional, the older we get. This is a good thing. Amen? We need to end it on an emotional note, guys. Testosterone, when it comes to hair growth, you've got formation and growth, you've got resting, you've got fallout. Three stages. The male hormone testosterone speeds up the cycle so that men reach the third stage earlier than women. Boy, you better believe that's the truth. Amen? God is telling no lie there when He made man and woman. The female hormone, estrogen, causes the cycle to remain in stage one for a longer time, causing women's hair to grow longer than men's and not typically fall out. Oh, there are some women that experience what most of us men experience, but very rarely does that happen because they never reach stage three, where the hair falls out faster than it grows in. This physiology is reflected in most cultures of the world in the custom of women wearing longer hair than men. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it, ladies? Guys, isn't it a beautiful thing? Amen? See, in modern cultures where the wearing of a hat or veil does not symbolize subordination, and we don't wear hats and veils here. That's not about our culture, all right? We don't do that in our culture. The practice of wearing hats and veils and all of this stuff should not be required of Christians. That's not where I'm trying to get it all with the passage. That's not where I'm trying to get it all, what 1 Corinthians 11 is saying to us. Well, we need to go back to veils, we need to go back. No, that's not what we're saying. What we finally want to end the chapter on is this. Women's hair and women's dress is to be what? Distinctively feminine and demonstrate her womanly identities. Amen? Because God has made the sexes distinct. Physiologically, and in roles, and in relationships. See, this is what he wants. We've got to what? We've got to honor the women in the church. We've got to honor the moms. Moms are special. Well, we can't have the special if we don't have the distinction. So we've got to have the distinction. You got it, guys? Are you tracking with me? What God wants from us, He wants men to be masculine. Masculine men to be responsibly and lovingly authoritative. Not Archie Bunker style. I'm talking about responsibly and lovingly authoritative. He wants women to be feminine. Feminine ladies to be responsibly and lovingly submissive. And friend, if we'll do that, if we'll attempt that, if we'll desire that, I think we'll have a good testimony for the Lord. When the lost folks come in here, and they do, when the lost folks come in here and they look around, they'll go, you know, I don't get them. I don't get what they believe. I think they're a little over the top. But you know what I can say about those folks at New Hope? They believe it. They believe it. They on fire about it. I'm not there yet, but man, them people, they believe it. They believe Christ. They believe the Bible. They believe the Lord. They love Jesus. Amen? Everything they do, they're complementary. I mean, it's a team approach, man. It's not the men riding roughshod, and it's not the women beating the men down. I mean, man, the man is the leader and authoritative, but he's lovingly and he's responsibly doing it, and she's right there. The women are right there by their side, and they're storming the gates of hell together. Amen? That's the way it should be. Kind of a different invitation for us today. If God would so move you, God would so move you today when we have the invitation. I'm going to pray in a few moments, and Brother Jeremiah is going to come down and lead this time with some a cappella singing. But if God would so move you, the invitation is simply this. Be thankful for your mom. Amen. To the point of maybe coming to the altar and just thanking God for. If you're married to a mother, be thankful for your wife. Amen? Be thankful for your family. It's a beautiful thing that you've been given kids, that you've been given a home, that you've been given this great responsibility. It's a heavy, heavy responsibility to bring up children. If you're a mom, you know how tough the job is. If the Lord would move you, maybe find yourself in the altar seeking His leadership through your husband, through the church that you attend. Amen? And let God do the blessing. And if you're here today before we pray and you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, the invitation for you to be saved is open till every last person has left this campus today. So you can come and inquire in a few moments when we're standing and singing, or you can find me over here at the fellowship time, or you can catch me before I leave with my family in the car. But if you're lost, and you know you're lost, you need to get saved. And Jesus is here. And the whole point of what Paul is trying to get across, the whole point of what he's trying to get across is so the church can have the right testimony with those that need Jesus. So it all comes back to this salvation, this gospel thing. This whole thing that we've done here today all comes back to somebody getting Christ. Amen? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be together. We're thankful for the moms, Lord, that you've put in our life. Lord, I'm thankful for mine, and I'm thankful for the wife that you've given me that's birthed our four children, been faithful, and, Lord, been a submissive woman, and, Lord, just been a follower of you. Thank you for her salvation. Thank you for the testimony that she lives before our kids. And Lord, I'm thankful for the other ladies that live that same kind of testimony before their families. Lord, it is a tough job assignment to be mom today. With the financial pressure, with the stuff going on in the schools, just just the enormity of it all. Lord, anoint these ladies. Anoint these grandmothers. Lord, give them the words and the leadership and the things they need to give to their grandkids. Lord, help them be an influence for Christ. Help them be seed sowers of the gospel. And may your church go forward. And Lord, may souls get saved. We praise you and we love you today. It's in your name we pray. Amen. If you'll stand with us all over the sanctuary, Brother Jeremiah is going to lead us in a time of Acapulco singing. The altars are open. You come.